The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
901, I'm Randy Corcoran, 303-696-1971. When I tell you what just happened, the phone lines are going to light. And so, get ready now, 303-696-1971. And be patient with me. We've got some guests that I had planned before I knew of the blow-up brigade decision by Ronna McDaniel, the chairman of the National GOP, of the RNC. I'm just a lowly RNC National Committee man. A decision that was made without consultation with the RNC, and something that has generated more emails in less than 24 hours, literally dozens and dozens to me personally, on a single issue since I became Republican National Committee man, about a year and a half ago, maybe? And is just going to knock your socks off. 303-696-1971. Before we go there, though, if you've got a free couple of hours this afternoon, I hope and I pray that you will come on out and join me and my old classmate and former employee, Rose Mary Zipor, when we talk about Roe v. Wade. And the way she looks at this program today is, what is Roe v. Wade? Just the facts, ma'am. Non-religious, non-political. So she comes from the political left, and we have many spirited debates. Love her to death. Never walk away angry. Never walk away from a friendship, unlike some people I know. And she pulled this thing together and invited me to be on the other side as we look at Roe v. Wade, past, present, and future, including the two important cases that the Supreme Court will be deciding just this term. And she also said, this is the flyer that she had sent out about it, that it should be non-religious. So we're holding it in the Wheat Ridge United Methodist Church. And that's at 38th and Wadsworth, 7530 West 38th. Haven't been there before, but 38th and Wadsworth. Big church, I think, so easy to find. That will start today at 1 o'clock. As soon as I'm done with the show, I'll be flying on over there. And it's, of course, free of charge, and I hope maybe they're going to record it so we can share it with you later. And if it goes well, I think maybe we'll polish it up a little bit and see if we can take it to other churches or other political groups for this non-religious, non-political discussion about Roe v. Wade, past, present, and future. It's live today at 1 p.m. I hope you will join us, and Rose will join us at about 10:45 to briefly talk about what she has in mind. The Ronna McDaniel thing. Oh, my goodness. And here's how I intend to approach this. After you hear what I'm about to tell you, if you are for it, call the Yes Line at 303-696-1971. If you're against it, call the No Line at 303-696-7171. And whatever side you are on this particular issue, I think I'm going to play devil's advocate and I'll just take the other side so we can sort of flesh out these arguments. But Ronna McDaniel, on her own, complete surprise to the 168 on the RNC, announced its first RNC Pride Coalition this past weekend in partnership with the Log Cabin Republicans. And, of course, the idea is to grow the party, grab more support among typically Republican-resistant groups in our country. And she announced this during a Log Cabin Republicans Spirit of Lincoln Gala at Mar-a-Lago in Florida. And so it's very, very interesting. Let me read you one of these one of these many, literally, I don't know, up to 60 maybe emails I've received in less than 24 hours. Dear Committeeman Randy Corcoran, I'm a Republican from Adams County. I've just learned about RNC Chair Ronna McDaniel's decision to begin an LGBT pride coalition within the Republican Party. I was shocked. I am shocked and so disappointed. This action goes against the platform of the Republican Party. And I'm asking you to do everything in your power to persuade Ronna McDaniel to reverse this decision or to resign. Now, I've got to tell you, of the 60 or so emails I've already received on this issue, and by the way, I want to hear from you, because obviously the 168 on the RNC who actually decide the direction and the policy of the national GOP are going to be talking about this and wanting to weigh in. And so if you're hearing this for the first time, and don't bombard me with repeat emails. If you've sent me something already, don't just keep sending it to try and jack up the numbers. That doesn't help me get a real sense of where Republicans are on this issue. But the email to use for any comments about Ronna McDaniel's decision to begin an LGBT pride coalition within the Republican Party should be addressed to RBCFOR Colorado, RBCFOR Colorado@gmail.com, RBCFOR Colorado@gmail.com. Is this a good idea for the Republican Party as we head into this potentially historic and just unbelievable opportunities out there if we don't listen to the old guard, anti-Trump, afraid of their own shadow Republicans out there who are once again steal and snatch defeat from the jaws of imminent victory, even right here in Colorado? If we have time, we'll get into that a little bit. But 303-696-1971 is the number if you care about this decision of Ronna McDaniel to begin an LGBT pride coalition within the Republican Party. And whatever side you take, no judgment here. And I'm not sure, I just don't know enough about all the background and what happened, what led to this. I did some scrambling around this morning and talking to people to find out more about it. Is this a big deal? Is this a bad thing? Is it a good thing? Whatever side you take, I'm going to respectfully disagree just to keep, you know, that's what lawyers do anyway, just to keep the conversation going. But in the meantime, really some great audio this week. David Frum is someone who is heavily aligned with Barack Obama, and I don't remember specifically some of his roles. I know he was a speechwriter for George Bush. I believe the first George Bush, and then he became senior editor at The Atlantic. He's written some very interesting books. I am almost certain that he has flipped his political allegiances to the Democrat Party, because the book I remember reading from him was all about the way Barack Obama utilized the brand new idea of social media in a very effective way to get people in the habit of chipping in $5 and then, you know, after the first one, do it, you know, get it every week and then start nudging them up with quick reminders on their cell phones and to their email accounts and on Twitter and on Facebook. And just an amazing job that Obama did in sorting out exactly what needed to be done. Some of his recent books, Trumpocalypse, Restoring American Democracy, Trumpocracy, The Corruption of the American Republic. Gosh, let's see if I can find the name of that book that was about. Well, anyway, it doesn't matter, the old book that got me interested in David Frum years ago, because he's a pretty smart guy. But listen real quickly, and then we'll get to the phones. And by the way, we've got guests at 9:25. So if you want to get on about this LGBT issue beforehand, get there now. And we still got a line open, 303-696-1971, because Natalie Winters will be joining us at 9:25. And she's great. I don't plan to keep her super long, though, because I want to hear from all of you. But this was brought to my attention last week and hadn't really had a chance to talk about it until now. Her article in the National Pulse, Rhino Senator Partners with Chinese Communists Less Than a Year After Losing Re-Election. And what, as she calls him, rhino senator, is she talking about? Yeah, our very own Cory Gardner. So I don't know the back and forth on this story. I haven't talked to Cory or his campaign, but I want to at least get the story out there, and then I'll try and do some investigation this week to see if there's another side of it. Before we play the clip and go to the phones, I don't want to forget to mention the amazing Arapaho Tea Party meeting that we had last Tuesday. Kind of a change in the Arapaho Tea Party. We did signups and got email and phone numbers. We're going to build a new mail list, get the website active again, I think maybe by our next meeting. And I'm debating whether to take a break in December and come back in January or go ahead and hold a December meeting. There's so many, you know, political parties and gatherings and this and that for December. So if you've got any thoughts about that, you know, just send them to me privately or text the studio, 710KNUS.com, the 710KNUS app, where you can text the studio directly about whether we should just go ahead and skip the December meeting, give everybody a break with so much family and political and other partying, work parties, the whole nine yards going on in December. But my hope, whether it's December or January, the new meeting will be in a new location, a church not too far from the current location, with an unlimited capacity, because I just hate having to cut off our free ticket disbursement at 75 or 80 people. I literally think we could double that or more. And we're going to set up a more, I don't know, professional, I guess, structure for the Arapaho Tea Party and really start doing things with it. But everybody that came was so open to the idea, so generous with their time and their thoughts and their willingness to pitch in. And so I'm very excited about that. Thank you to everybody. And before we go to the phones, let's just hear this interesting little clip from David Frum. And this is for all of the run from Trump as fast as you can brigaders out there. David Frum.
I'm really worried about a return of Donald Trump this time, because this time the velociraptors have figured out how to work the doorknobs.
So let's just pause there for a second. The velociraptors have figured out how to work the doorknobs. Isn't that clever? The velociraptors, an absolute force of nature, just like Donald Trump, with tiny little hands that can't really do anything, equating that to Donald Trump in his first term. And listen, I've said this in a much more respectful way myself. Donald Trump, the business bulldozer, went to Washington, D.C., thinking that the people that he appointed and gave jobs to or supported him in getting into the White House, or even if they came on grudgingly, once they got there, he believed they would support his agenda. And David Frum tells you the truth about what really happened during the Trump administration, round one.
That when Trump arrived last time, he had no idea how the government worked. And so somebody like John Kelly, John Kelly could keep him at bay and just not doing things. You know, one of my favorite Trump stories, and I've given too long an answer to this, is the story of how he wanted a military parade and the way that the military, without ever disobeying an order from their commander-in-chief, just found ways not to do it. Well, sir, have you considered that what this will do to the asphalt in the District of Columbia, and we don't have an appropriation to repave the streets? Trump said, okay, I'll get you $10 million. Well, our study says 80. Trump said, I said 10. And then it shows up in the Washington Post. The cost is 80.
Yeah. And this is funny, of course. The military found ways to interfere with the desires of the commander-in-chief. This applies throughout Donald Trump's entire cabinet, not each and every individual. But some of the choices he made, and you think he hasn't learned from this, those people were the resistance, the silent resistance, working behind the scenes with the deep state. In spite of all of it, Donald Trump accomplished historic things. This is about done, then we'll jump to the phones.
They leaked the estimate, and they just kept doing it because they didn't want to participate. He will not be so easily restrained.
Got that.
When he returns, and his... And he will also have a much more focused agenda of revenge when he returns. Revenge on his enemies and revenge on the country.
Yeah, revenge on his enemies. And that's why people like David Frum are so terrified right now. And you notice he said when he returns, not if he returns. But revenge on the country. Look at what the country was like when Donald Trump was in office. Even as we, you know, got sucked into the Chinese Communist Party Wuhan virus and all of that disaster. Everything that was done, was tried to be done, was for the American people. And ever since the creepy, sleepy, poopy, boy, creepy really fits now with zombie Joe Biden. I guess you can say racist putative President Joe Biden, giving his use of the term Negro. Everything that's happened since he got here has just been a disaster for the United States of America. So those guys are worried, as they should be. The Republican establishment here in Colorado and elsewhere are worried, as they should be, because revenge on enemies, unfortunately, is going to include some of them. And it's really, really a shame that people keep trying as hard as they can to steer us away from support of the president, the last president of the United States, and I would predict future president of the United States. Regardless, he's going to be a force of nature, as you will hear when I share with you about 5 minutes busted up into little pieces of just a remarkable speech he gave at the National Republican Congressional Committee annual meeting earlier this week. Donald Trump is the leader of this party, and everybody else who doesn't want to find a way to support him, regardless of what they believe or if they've bothered to learn anything about elections, but everybody who doesn't understand what's coming through the midterms and then heading into the presidential election of 2024 really ought to find a way to just get the heck out of the way. We've got full lines. This looks like everybody wants to talk about this issue of Ronna McDaniel setting up an LGBTQ pride coalition without the knowledge of the RNC. We'll take them in order, starting with Chuck in Tulsa. Good morning, sir.
Morning, Randy. I'll tell you what, when I heard you talk about this, I was thinking to myself, okay, so we're switching to Democrat tactics here. Identity politics, want the media to like us and everything else, so that way we'll feel good like when the final vote is that we've lost. You know,
Chuck, we've lost you. Stick Chuck back on hold, see if Billy and Parker, if we can hear him. Billy, good morning.
Good morning. I'm going to go the other direction. I fully 100% and unapologetically support an LGB coalition. People like Scott Pressler, people like Herschel Walker's son Christian, Brandon Straka from the Walkaway Movement, Rick Grinnell, we need volume of votes. Whatever they're doing in their bedroom has nothing to do with what we're doing as far as what we support as far as the border, energy prices, national defense, immigration policy, and just general freedoms. So I'm unapologetically supporting that an LGB coalition be pursued. I want more votes, not less.
So, Billy, this is such a great call because I will tell you of the probably 60-plus emails that I've received in less than 24 hours on this issue, which came as a complete surprise to me. I knew nothing about it. They've all been adamantly opposed. And so since you're taking the pro side, I'm going to advocate against it. If I get some negative callers, I'm going to push back and sort of with some of the arguments that you just made. First of all, I don't think Ronna McDaniel should do something like this without checking with the people who actually empower her to do things at all, you know.
And I agree with you on that. I think that she ought to be transparent.
The other thing that worries me is I 100%, you know, I'm friends with Scott Pressler and Brandon Straka. I talked to Brandon just last week and I support, I've never opposed people's, what they decide to do in their private lives is their business. But what I worry about is the Pride Coalition. Pride is a whole different thing. The LGBTQ Pride Coalition or Pride Movement risks becoming the activist wing, the Democrats-leaning activist wing of the Republican Party. Because the Pride movement is all about this radical agenda in our schools and carving out special rights for people with different sexual proclivities. And I am really strongly against that. The Republican platform is against it, not against people's individual choices or who they believe themselves to be. I love people who are good people. But the Pride agenda scares me.
Okay. And now I do see what you're saying on that one, on using the word pride. Now let's go ahead and think about what would be a separate agenda, completely different, that would differentiate certain pieces of that from the conservative agenda. Now, if we're talking about bringing in a transgender reading hour at the library, no. And I, if I was going to bet my paycheck, if there was an LGB coalition within the Republican Party or the conservative movement, there's no way in the world that that side is going to advocate pushing stuff like that. They're not going to advocate people going into the schools and having trans drag queen story hours, things like that. You're not going to be going that route. If it's conservative, there's going to be the libertarian side of that that's going to be pushed. And if it's going to be the libertarian side, it's going to kind of go – I'm really fond of what Peter Boyles has always said. What day was your choice day? Because I don't remember the day that I decided that I like females. And if we're going to – if we're talking about the liberties, the civil liberties, the freedoms, I think that an LGB coalition – would advocate on that, but not to the point of, you know, pushing and trying to brainwash you almost.
Sure. Billy, what a great way to kick off. Well, I guess Chuck kicked it off, but we lost him. I think he's back. What a great way to kick off the conversation. I do have to hit the break, but God bless you, sir. I hope you have a great weekend. Thank you so much. Billy's line is open, 303-696-1971. We will certainly continue this conversation. And as I said, it's all new to me, so I'm going to play devil's advocate regardless of the position you take on this particular issue. But we're going to divert when we come back and be joined by the wonderful, young, aggressive, talented, and accurate reporter, Natalie Winters from the National Pulse. Just have not been able to criticize her reporting so far and haven't found others able to do it either. But her story is one of particular interest, I would think, to people here in Colorado. And the title is Rhino Senator. She's talking about Cory Gardner, partners with Chinese communists less than a year after losing re-election. So we'll have that conversation. You sit tight on the phones as we continue. 710 KNUS. It's 928. I love this song. Guess who? All right. Man, it's very interesting because the 60-plus emails I've received in response to Ronna McDaniel's announcement of the LGBTQ Pride Coalition from the Republican Party, all in opposition. And the couple of callers we've had time to squeeze in so far, one for it, one against it, on the 710 KNUS Text to Studio app, it is yes, yes, and more yes. We welcome more people into the party. If they support freedom, I support them. Very, very interesting. We're going to get back to those conversations here in just a little bit, but a very interesting sidetrack right now. Our next guest, Natalie Winters, the investigative reporter, one of them over at the National Pulse. And she's just terrific. In fact, let's bring her on now. Natalie, good morning.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
You are what I love about the youth and energy in the America First movement, because you just are nonstop. And of course, you know, you work for my friend Raheem Kassam, and he's I've had him on the radio many times, see him at places. I have never gotten a chance to meet you. So one of these days, you got to show up at some place Republicans go, you know, like CPAC or something, so I can say hello and thank you in person, because your work is just terrific.
Well, thank you, and likewise for having me on. It's very kind of you, and you, I think, have similar energy levels, very amped up about this, because I think we both understand, living in blue states, how important the fight is for the sake of the country, the future. So thank you for having me on.
Well, no kidding. And I've got some audio I'm going to play before the show is over from Donald Trump at the National Republican Congressional Committee annual dinner that is just knock them dead. The reason why America First Republicans are winning and will continue to win. And I'm in a blue state where everybody tells me to stop talking about the election, stop talking about Donald Trump. You can only win as Republicans in this now blue state if you run as fast as you can. And I say, BS. It's not only is it stupid, because Donald Trump's not going away. The media and the left is going to make everything about Donald Trump, especially as we get closer to a presidential announcement. But it's just the wrong move, because people, whether they like Donald Trump's personality or not, support the America First agenda.
Yes, I mean, I think this dovetails with the story that we're probably going to be talking about. People like Cory Gardner, these establishment Republicans, they're rhinos through and through, people who, frankly, they should just call them Democrats. But a lot of these people, they don't have backbones. When we elect them, when we, you know, donate to their campaigns, when they actually get to Washington, D.C., they don't do anything. And frankly, I think the critique that rhinos don't get anything done isn't even accurate. because I think they actively undermine the Republican Party and actively undermine American values, the values that we support. And frankly, I think it's not even just Donald Trump. It's candidates like Trump, candidates who represent moving away from this very establishment McCain, Romney type faction of within the Republican Party. Their days are over. Their days have been over for a long time. And it's time for, I think, people much more in Trump-style populism, people like myself and you, who really understand what it means to put America first, and that has nothing to do with big corporations outsourcing to China, soft peddling on cultural issues. And I think candidates who understand that will be successful, and we've seen it. They are successful.
Boy, there's just no doubt about it. We saw it in these recent off-year elections, the midterms anticipated to be a blowout, the old guard Republicans who were in charge of the party and the politics here in Colorado for so long are telling us that the only reason that, you know, Virginia was a success was because people distanced themselves from President Trump. And anyway, I don't want to get sidetracked with that. When I found out we were going to have you on and I went and read this story, I just want to say up front, as someone who loves to be fair to both sides, I have not yet called Corey or anybody on his former campaign team or just the folks who are around him to get another side to this story. But I have to say, at face value, it seems to me to be very, very concerning. Why don't you tell people what we're talking about?
Sure. So there are a couple of, I think, necessary components that I have to lay out before we get into Cory Gardner and his ties to the Chinese Communist Party. So the group that I'll be talking about briefly is called the China-United States Exchange Foundation. And while it has a very innocuous, maybe friendly-sounding name, it is anything but. This is a very nefarious group, really ground zero for a lot of these Chinese Communist Party-run foreign influence operations designed explicitly at the government and military level to produce policies and really talking head, puppet-type figures in the United States who echo the lines and the sentiments of Beijing. And it's part of what's called the United Front, which is a multi-billion dollar effort funded by the Chinese government to find and identify either current, and in this case, former officials and just people who hold credibility and authority within in the American political and cultural discourses and dialogues and get them to toe the Chinese Communist Party line. I always joke, they try to create a bunch of Hunter Bidens, except ideally they don't get caught. But in this case, the China United States Exchange Foundation, CUSEF for short, they have very close ties to a lot of former members of Congress, one in particular, Cory Gardner. So Cory Gardner was supposed to headline one of their events, which is called What to Expect from the Upcoming Biden-Xi Virtual Summit. And in addition to Cory Gardner speaking, which again comes less than a year after he lost re-election, also a professor from the Chinese state-run university, Tsinghua, Chen Qi, was joining him. And keep in mind, Tsinghua University, not only is this the alma mater of Xi Jinping, the leader of course, the Chinese Communist Party, but this school has been flagged by the U.S. State Department for launching cyber attacks against the U.S. government and having very, very deep ties to China's basically foreign espionage activities, the Ministry of State Security. So CUSEF, which is what this group is called for short, was hosting this webinar with Cory Gardner and the Tsinghua University professor, and it was slated to take place November 9th. However, and as you said, we're in the midst of reaching out to Cory Gardner's office as well, but a few days after we put up the story at the National Pulse calling this out, because again, this is a textbook example of how the Chinese Communist Party really curates these former members of Congress to echo the policies and prescriptions and ideas that they want them to, right, creating these Hunter Biden, Joe Biden-esque figures, they actually postponed the event. If you read the website now, it says we postponed the event. They just updated it. So we'll be reaching out to see what the status of this is. But I think this really speaks to more broadly this very intricate deep web that these various Chinese Communist Party influence groups, of which there are hundreds, right, they have operating budgets of billions of U.S. dollars, are really actively seeking to get former and current American officials, also people in media, to echo what they want, right, to echo the talking points and the ideas of the Chinese Communist Party. And when you want to understand why the American establishment is so soft on China, right, what we're seeing right now coming out of the White House, It is exactly the work, the very, very dark work of groups like the China United States Exchange Foundation that is responsible.
Talking with Natalie Winters, investigative journalist over there at the National Pulse. If you're not reading the National Pulse, thenationalpulse.com, every single day you are missing out on tremendous opportunities to learn what's going on in MAGA world and in the real world, not the filtered world that we see and hear every day from the corrupt, coordinated, Democrat-controlled media machine. Really disappointed that this seminar, this Zoom webinar, didn't occur on Tuesday, November 9th as scheduled, because, you know, then we could really know what was the nature of the conversation. Is there a value in a former high-level American politician having at least conversation with these people? Corey was in charge of, he was the, I forget the title exactly, but he headed the group that was dealing with Taiwan and the U.S.-Taiwan relationship. And so he was very deeply entrenched in U.S. and Asian relationships and policies. And so, you know, it could be that this was just informational. Do you have any idea if Corey was being paid for this appearance?
So, no, that was not listed on TUSAF's website. But I will say, as a firm believer in history repeating itself, I think the answer to is there any productive benefits that come about from collaborating with groups like QSEF is a resounding no. I would point people that any time, whether it's a journalist, an academic, someone in the media, or a politician has interacted with QSEF or a similar group, right, when the Chinese Communist Party's sole goal, the reason that these groups exist is to influence and infiltrate American politics, they have invariably always come away in support, whether outlandishly or sometimes it's a little more discreet, but always, always, always have backed and failed to criticize the Chinese Communist Party. We had a story a few months back talking about how these journalists would go on trips to China sponsored by QSEF, totally paid for, bankrolled by this Chinese Communist Party front group. And upon return, if you read the documents they were forced to sign to go on these trips, they would have to provide the Chinese government with, quote, favorable coverage and, quote, disseminate positive messages. So QSEF doesn't exist to have open and honest conversations. They exist to create Americans who will really just do what the Chinese Communist Party wants in America, creating these Manchurian candidates, in this case, Manchurian former candidates and former officials.
Has this thing been rescheduled? It is very interesting that after you pointed this out, it all of a sudden got dropped from the schedule.
I know they say there are no coincidences in politics, but perhaps this is a perfect example of why. Noah, we are going to reach out, and we're waiting to hear back from the office on whether or not they will be pursuing it. But I will say this event is hosted in partnership with what's called the Association for Former Members of Congress. So even if this specific event doesn't happen with former Senator Cory Gardner, there is a whole institution and infrastructure behind him in the sense that there is a body whose sole goal, right, this Association for Former Members of Congress, to connect people that we voted for, people that we funded their campaigns, people we funded their offices, they used our tax dollars, to really connect them so they can liaise with these foreign entities that are not acting out of the goodness of their hearts, that are not altruistic actors, that have one goal, and that is, at least in the case of the Chinese Communist Party, to really effectuate and see the policies that will enable their rise and embolden their regime to be implemented and, frankly, I would argue, implanted within the United States. So it really is a perfect example of how our own people that we trusted with our tax dollars and votes have been weaponized against us, and it's really disheartening to see it when it comes from the Republican Party.
Natalie Winters, we're going to run out of time here. Tell everybody how they can follow you, your social media, where to get your work, and then I've got one more question for you.
Yes, so you can find my work at thenationalpulse.com. My boss, Raheem Kassam, and I also have a podcast. We just recorded an episode today about Steve Bannon, and I'm on Twitter at Natalie G. Winters, on Facebook at Natalie Winters, and Getter at Natalie G. Winters.
Well, how convenient, because I wanted to ask you about Steve. You're with him constantly on the War Room, and Eric Holder, the former AG for Barack Obama, has been in contempt of Congress now for about 15 years. He was never indicted. We just heard that Bannon was indicted, even though he wasn't even a part of the administration as of January 6th. How's he doing? What are his thoughts? Can you give us a taste of that podcast and then tell folks once more where they can find it?
Yes. Well, it's really interesting. So Raheem and I kind of went through some of our best memories with Steve and just talking about the Steve that the media doesn't tell you about as much as they try to set him out to be an evil mastermind genius type. He really is, I think, one of the truest and most patriotic Americans, most hardworking people that I've ever met. So he's doing great. You know, I think Steve wants to be an enemy of the state in the sense that it's proof that the agenda that we're working for is so at odds with what the establishment wants and what the American elites want that the only thing they can do is try to silence, deperson, deplatform. I'm sure everyone knows what that's like. And with Steve, because he's so powerful, they're taking it to the next level to try to silence him from behind bars. But don't fret. War Room is still plugging on. Steve is doing well, I'm sure. And just an example of what the Biden administration acting, I would say, in very similar fashion to the Chinese Communist Party targeting political dissidents is capable of, and just the disgust that, with which they're treating institutions like the Department of Justice.
It's so obvious to anyone who just has their eyes open wide enough to see. And Natalie, if I was on more, I'd have you on more. But it's always a pleasure when we get a chance to connect. I look forward to meeting you one day, and just keep up the good work. Hope you have a great weekend.
Thank you, sir, and likewise.
All right. Yeah, there's just so much young energy out there, and there was even young people at the Tea Party meeting. Not enough. That's going to be one of the focuses, get people back involved, find things to get more young people interested in folks who are like me, even though I'm an insider now, an RNC committee man, executive committee of the Colorado State GOP. I've got the Tea Party heart. The point of my activism is to remind the Republican Party of its platform and what it means to be a Republican, and to hold those spokespeople and those politicians who forget those sacred obligations and why voters vote for them in the first place, hold them accountable. I think that's just so very, very important. Okay, we're going to have some time to talk some more about Ronna McDaniel and the announcement of a LGBTQ Pride Coalition. So far, it's about 90% to 10% negative to positive on that. I'm going to argue either side as I think it through, because it's a brand new issue for me. But the phone number is 303-696-1971. We've got Chuck back as well. We'll let him finish his thoughts when we return on 710 KNUS. We're back at 947, about 13 minutes to go until 10 o'clock. Randy Corcoran, good looking day today, 67, 60 tomorrow, 70 on Monday, 72 on Tuesday. Glad I haven't put the Harley up for the winter. I actually never really do. But nice to look forward to. We have had a real mild start to our fall, which if you've been in Colorado a long time, you know that means we are really going to pay for it later. And before we jump back on the phones, let me just remind you again, 1 o'clock today, 38th and Wadsworth at the United Methodist Church there. Liberal attorney Rosemary Zipor and conservative attorney, a guy named Randy Corcoran, will be talking about Roe v. Wade, past, present, and future, including the two big cases in front of the U.S. Supreme Court. Now, it's free of charge. Would love to have you out there. I don't know, you know, I don't know the people I'm going to see. So it'd be fun to have some listeners and some supporters. 1 o'clock, right after the show today. Really going to be fun. And of course, just in time to go out and stand on what I assume will be a stage or something in front of a whole bunch of people I don't know. I got in a knife fight yesterday and got my face cut open. I got a nice slice from next to my nose down to my lip. Well, that's the story I'll probably tell my grandkids one day if it scars up. I actually lost a battle with a Macintosh computer. A friend of mine was picking up his laptop or his desktop computer from our office, had a bunch of stuff on it, and he let us back it up, and we were packing it up in the box, and they were having trouble with it. And, of course, I'm flying around getting ready for our Roe v. Wade presentation. Said, oh, wait, here, let me help you in. Started fighting with the thing and tried to kind of fold it where it is on the stand so it would go into the box, and it popped loose and just ripped my face open. Just bled like a stuck pig. So, you know, if I'm self-conscious today, just come up and tell me, you know, that's a manly looking scar. And I'll come up with a better story for it sometime down the road. But Chuck, we lost a connection with him. We've been talking about Ronna McDaniel and her choice of to announce, without talking to the 168 on the RNC at all, that there's this new coalition, LGBTQ Pride Coalition in conjunction with the Republican National Committee. And, you know, the emails just keep pouring in. I've just learned about it, and I'm extremely disappointed in RNC Chair Ronna McDaniel's announcement that the RNC is launching an LGBT Pride Coalition. Those are emails to my National Committee Man email, which is where I really need to hear from you so I can get a gauge of what my constituents want me to do and say to Ronna McDaniel. That email address is rbcforcolorado, rbcforcolorado at gmail.com. It's really been, you know, probably up to about 70 emails. I haven't seen a single one yet here today on the 710 CAN-US text line. Whole lot of positive perspectives. Chuck, I think, was against it. We'll let him finish his thoughts and then keep rolling down the phones. Chuck, welcome back.
Hi, Randy. It sounds like we're going down the road of identity politics, just trying to make it into an alternative Democrat Party. I mean, when you put candidates out there, isn't it supposed to be that you recruited the best one, not a group he belongs to or like something about him? Otherwise, you're going to end up – look at Biden's cabinet. He says he has a cabinet that reflects America. Yeah, but how's that all working out for us? I mean, you have a guy like Buttigieg, like in transportation.
God, just inept, incompetent. I don't.
Right, I
don't care if he sleeps with a man or puts on false breasts to nurse his adopted children. It's just nuts to me that we're picking people for that very reason. I agree with you. I agree with you in that regard.
Exactly. And then what's going to happen is then you're going to have other groups that want to form. And then I'll tell you what's going to happen then, because you're so far away from the issues. Somewhere along the line, someone's going to be offended, or you're going to cross somebody and it's going to be tied up with lawsuits. Tell me that's not going to happen.
It's going to be fascinating, Chuck. I appreciate it. I'm glad we got you back and you got to finish your thought. Have a great weekend, sir.
Thanks. You too.
All right. Chuck's line is open. 303-696-1971. 696-1971. I'll tell you, with everything speeding up the way it is, we head into flu season, cold season, and everything else. I am so grateful to have my friend Dr. Julie McCallan from Cenegenics in my back pocket. I was talking with her today. And did you know that your chronological age and your biological age can be very, very different? You know, a healthy 50-year-old may have a lower biological age than an overweight 30-year-old in poor health. And Julie pounds that home every single day. At the Tea Party meeting on Tuesday, this very nice lady who's there quite often, a regular attendee, said, "You're looking pretty thin there, Mr. Corcoran." And that just blew me away because, you know, I don't really see it. You see yourself every day. You can't see the changes. But, man, it feels good to exercise. It feels good to be learning about how to eat better and focus on the things that can help my life not only last longer, but stay more productive and feel better every single day. They identify blood sugar and hormone levels, kidney and liver measures, sleep quality, all the things that can make a difference to the rest of your life. Cenegenics gives you those tools to reach and maintain a healthy weight, improve your sleep, optimize your overall well-being, and they tailor everything they say to your individual profile. Call them today, 720-387-3681, 720-387-3681. And the website is denver.cenegenics.com, denver.cenegenics.com. I mentioned earlier about the sort of change of direction in the Tea Party and wanting to find ways to get younger people involved and get the people who are so consistent, so kind to show up all the time, finding constructive things for everybody to do. And it starts with organization, which I'm working on now. John in Aurora has some ideas. John, welcome.
Hey, Randy, how you doing? Yeah, this is John with the Jono campaign, I guess you might say. How you doing?
Oh, all right. Are you still fighting, or is that baby over?
Well, it's looking like it's over. Okay. Every time you do an update, Jono gets behind a couple more votes. He's down, shoot, about 150 votes. They still haven't called it official.
Okay.
I don't know what the heck is going on in Arapahoe County, but anyhow, but it's not official. It's
well, let's talk about the Tea Party just because time is short. We got a top of the hour coming. Go ahead.
Well, I like the direction you're going, and one thing is with our men's Bible study that we meet once a week, I got a couple guys I've met who are political science students, at the Colorado Christian University, and they did help us out a little bit with Jono's campaign. And I thought of them when you mentioned about trying to get more youth into the Tea Party, which I agree with. And so I was going to make some contacts with them. And plus, with your connection with the RNC, I think you know, potentially, you know, if nothing else, they could just be talking to you and trying to learn, you know, learn the inside scoop about how things work, and not just, you know, a book reading kind of thing, you know, at school, but real hands-on kind of thing.
Well, those are great, great ideas, John, and I should reach out to Jeff Hunt too, because I've met, you know, and I've spoken or emceed or done anything out there at Colorado Christian University for the Centennial Institute. Man, the enthusiasm and the brilliance of those young people is overwhelming, and I'll bet we could get them involved. Will you reach out to me off the show, and let's continue to explore your idea, because it's a good one.
I will do that.
Thank you, John.
Take care, sir.
Yeah, appreciate it so much.
Have a good one.
All right, John's line is open, 303-696-1971. We've got folks on the line opposed to the coalition. We're going to divert for a minute, if everybody will be patient, because at 10 o'clock, and I had scheduled him 2 weeks ago and then bumped him last week, so I'm definitely not bumping him this week. Todd Whitman will be joining the show. I think he was at the Tea Party meeting last month. But he's running for sheriff. He was also a Border Patrol agent, and he's got some stories to tell. They're going to make your hair stand on end. We'll talk to him for about 10 minutes, then get right back to the phone calls. And in the 10 o'clock hour, I'm also going to play for you just some remarkable audio from the leader of the Republican Party, Donald J. Trump, speaking at the National Republican Congressional Committee annual dinner just last week. The audio is superb, and we'll share it with you. But right now, it's time to take a break. Top of the hour, 9:56, Randy Corcoran, 710 KNUS.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.